Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. And it's time now for the much-anticipated debut of the Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. And we head to the hotline right now. I guess sidelines kind of works along those same lines, right? Because we are bringing in a Hall of Fame sportscaster, a man who has been around many, many years surrounding the Cleveland Browns and all of Cleveland sports, legendary Fox 8 sportscaster John Telich joining us on the hotline. John, we appreciate the time. We're really looking forward to doing this every single week through the end of the regular season. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to it, too. You know, it's hard to recall the first practices that I had an opportunity to cover. That would have been the season of 1980, and that was the cardiac kid era, the cardiac kid year. And it's hard to believe almost 40 years have flown by, and we've had like double axles as far as Browns football. You had the great football in the 80s, and you had the Belichick years until the team left, and then now you've had the second era. And obviously, it's not been very much to write home about in the second era of Browns football. But the anticipation, guys, for this year, it's through the roof. And obviously, we look forward to seeing what these guys can do on the playing field when they start practicing Thursday.
John, in the years you've been covering this team, where do you think this year kind of ranks in anticipation for the season to kind of get here?
Well, there's a lot of things that make it an exciting thing to look forward to. You have a new head football coach. I can recall then back in the years when Marty Schottenheimer took over for Sam Ratigliano, and there was a lot of anticipation how well he would do. He took over in the halfway through the 84 season. His first full year was 85. They went to the playoffs in 1985. You've got Freddie Kitchens this year. He actually came on as the offensive coordinator halfway through last season. So in some way, shape, or form, he had a job of some leadership with the team a year ago. How does he transition to being the full-time head coach? Will he change? Will people change around him? So far, there's no indication that, number one, he's changed. I think you get the same Freddie. And number two, with the greater array of talent around him, there's more anticipation that they can be very much more successful than they've been in the past.
John, a ton of different items at play here, a lot of great storylines heading into the beginning of camp, and I guess the hot-button topic over the weekend that carried into the early stages of this week was the GQ article on Odell Beckham Jr., and I think fans were obviously very excited to see him traded to the Browns in the offseason, but I think the expectations are still extraordinarily high, but people are still trying to gauge the temperature of that right now. You think this GQ article was much ado about nothing, or do you think there was anything in there that Browns fans should be concerned about?
Well, I think one thing that you want to concentrate on when you look at an article like that is how he's looking forward to the next chapter in his life. He's going to be highly scrutinized. I think that's going to continue. He had a camp yesterday where more like 600 kids were at his camp, many of them wearing the blonde locks that he had when he was a New York football giant. So as far as the article is concerned, guys, not going to go crazy over it because, first and foremost, he wants to turn the page. It's hard for him to turn the page when there's so much New York media or national media that will conjure up or bring up things that took place perhaps on the sidelines when he was frustrated with the Giants or when he's attacking a kicking net, whatever it might be. I think this guy, first and foremost, is an incredible weapon for Baker to assimilate with. He will lead the wide receiving core along with his buddy Jarvis Landry. So I would err or at least go to the side where don't go crazy over it. You're going to have more and more cover stories on OBJ from other magazines. He's an internationally acclaimed athlete, not just a guy who plays American football. He's got a big star that goes around him, and that comes with the territory. And Cleveland's had that. We had that for many years when LeBron James was here.
Again, you're dialed into the Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We're being joined by Fox 8's John Telich, talking about the Browns as they get set to begin their first training camp practice tomorrow. A lot of rookies are going to be in the spotlight, especially early on in camp. John, are there any particular rookies that you'll be studying most early on in camp?
Well, I think first and foremost, Greedy Williams. We saw him in the camps that we had the opportunity to have exposure to the Browns early on. He was kind of getting his legs underneath him, learning more about the speed of some of these receivers that are on the team, guys on the NFL level. But as time went on during the spring, he settled in more and more, and he really looks like he could be a great complement to Denzel Ward on the other side. So you've got to look at this guy. You have to also look at Mack Wilson, the linebacker, and you also have to look at Taki Taki, two young linebackers. It's going to be curious and interesting to see how the linebackers are deployed this year under Coach Wilks, the defensive coordinator, because he's had a reputation of deploying them in such a way where they can, for the most part, be pretty successful at taking away that tight end going down the field. And the Browns, at times, had some troubles in that area in terms of where they rank in the league. So I'm looking forward to see how these two young linebackers can do in camp. And you also have that kicking competition between Seibert and Joseph. That's going to be something to watch, because it's not that often that you see guys drafted pretty high in the draft as kickers. So I'm curious to see those scenarios, and I'm sure there's going to be other ones that kind of pop up. There's local kids like Dorian Baker, who played at Kentucky. He's a Cleveland Heights High School alum, so he played over there, same high school as the Kelseys. And so you're kind of curious to see if he even has an opportunity to maybe, you know, get one of the practice squad spots. So there's a lot of young guys that you'll be looking at. But first and foremost, I think the marquee guy is Greedy Williams. Keep your eye on him. See how he does in the team competition when he's lined up against some of those tougher receivers, i.e. Jarvis or, of course, Odell Beckham Jr.
John, you bring up the kicking game and special teams, and I know there's a lot of question marks this year, but it's that one of the biggest one for the Browns? Who's going to kick those field goals? Because that's a place they left a lot of points off the board last season.
In fact, early in the year, you could make the argument that had they had a better kicker, at least someone who was performing better in those first few opportunities, few games, maybe they're looking at an 8-7 in one season, or possibly not even having one of those, you know, that tie. But I agree with you 100%. It's going to be something to look at. You'll see more and more of it, like during the actual preseason games, how they're used in that regard. And maybe there's one other thing just to talk about, or we could do this in the weeks down the line, just the way the schedule shapes up. You know, it's kind of curious. You open up with a Sunday at 1, then you've immediately got a Monday night game, and then the week after that, not only do you have a Sunday night game, which is going to be exciting as all get out at Brown Stadium at First Energy, but you're going to have it against the Rams, which will be absolutely high-powered, star-powered football in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, no question about that. We will certainly dive into the schedule in future episodes of the Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. And, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun, too, because the schedule, especially early on, I think will be very, very challenging, and that's one of the many challenges facing first-year head coach Freddie Kitchens. And I think the difference here, John, is that he comes in a totally different way than many other head coaches. You go back the last 10, maybe 15 years, the expectations were so much lower. Now the expectation is to win right away. How do you think he handles those expectations, especially in the early stages of training camp?
Well, I think he comes into this year with incredible expectations placed upon him because he has that ingredient, you guys, and I think you know where I'm going with this. He has that ingredient that many of those coaches did not have when they came to the Browns in recent years. They did not have the quarterback. And he has that quarterback, and you can give him credit for being part of the reason why the quarterback a year ago, especially in the last 8 games, was so successful, was because how Freddie was moving the people around to have receivers in the right spots, for Baker to find them, for Baker to be successful with his throws. So there's a lot of expectations on Freddie because he's got a guy under center that we know is one of the future stars in the National Football League. So that's exciting, and I think he would sit back and say, I'm a humble guy from Alabama. I worked for everything I got. Nobody gave me any kind of a chance to do what I'm doing currently. They always looked past me. They always said it's not you, and they said the same types of things to the guy that is my quarterback as well. That's what's been the pretty much the life story for Baker Mayfield. So I think between those two guys, they will welcome any kind of high expectations because they expect nothing less of themselves.
And being able to handle so many different personalities, that's all part of being a head coach. And one of the personalities and one of the situations that Coach Kitchens has had to try and handle and juggle right now would be Duke Johnson and that whole ongoing saga. You know, gut instinct, John, do you think he's part of this team at the end of training camp?
I remember asking him in the spring, do you think you'll be on the roster, come September? And at that time, he said, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I think the Browns are a different front office than we have seen in the past, in the sense that I just don't think they're going to give him away if anybody just comes to knock and it's not the price that they want that team to pay. I think they're very schooled in how they handle themselves in making trades. You can witness at how they picked up some of the talent in the offseason. So I just don't think they're going to give him away. I think they're also kind of playing their cards real close, saying publicly, yes, he's part of our team. But you've got a guy who's publicly said that he doesn't want to be where he perceives that he is not wanted. And so there's a lot lost in the translation between what Duke is saying publicly and then what the Browns are saying. So my gut feeling is that he'll be here through camp. But beyond that, I'm just not sure, guys.
Do you think hiring Drew Rosenhaus as his agent has streamlined this process, or do you think that that's not really going to make a difference one way or the other?
Well, I think Drew's well-schooled in these types of situations, and so I think it will streamline it. Absolutely, 100%. It will get some kind of a, not reconciliation, but some kind of a solution to this scenario because he's involved. I don't think he works well with Dorsey. Their history is that there is not any, bad blood or anything of that nature between Dorsey and Rosenhaus. So we'll see how that plays out. But probably was not a bad move at all on Duke's part to get through Rosenhaus because it didn't seem like he felt that he was well served with his previous agent.
Well, and that was my next question. I mean, I think from a Browns fan's perspective, do you think that helps at all because there is this pre-existing positive relationship that exists between Dorsey and Rosenhaus?
Well, I think if they get along well, that's all well and good, but I think it still comes down to the deal. And I just don't see these Browns being the organization that will say, this guy's not happy, let's just get rid of him for whatever. I think they're going to try to get whatever they can price-wise for draft pick wise or whatever for Duke. But we also have to take one thing into consideration here. I think a lot of people are missing when they look at the Duke Johnson scenario is he plays that running back position. And that position, the way it's valued in the National Football League, I don't think it's valued as in the way it was in the past. And so a lot of people would say, I just get another talent. They're going to see if this Hilliard kid can be close to what Duke Johnson has shown. And if he comes close, maybe that alters how they're willing to part with Duke Johnson for maybe the price that wasn't what they thought they could get for him.
Well, certainly looking forward to seeing how all of that plays out, because if he's on the roster, he plays a very important role, at least until Kareem Hunt comes back a little bit later on. We've had a number of different stories here, John, and I know that everybody's very excited about training camp beginning tomorrow with the first day of practice. Are there some other storylines that might not be as big that you'll certainly be watching for, especially in the first couple weeks?
Well, I think it's obviously the offensive line. Right now you can look and say you've probably got Robinson, Batonio, J.C. Treader, Austin Corbett, Chris Hubbard, if you go from left to right on the offensive line. What other guys can fill in, be individuals that they can count on? What guys might show that they've got a future to be even put on the practice squad? Let's think of some other things here. How will Baker and Odell be on the deep balls? I think Baker is a tremendous deep ball thrower with precision, and I think Odell probably was missing that kind of connection in his last year or so when he was playing with Eli Manning in New York. And so that is something I want to watch. I want to see how connected these guys can be, how accurate Baker can be on the deep ball to someone like Odell Beckham, Jr., who has the ability to separate or even obviously has the ability on the underneath routes to get himself open. So those are a couple of things to look for. How will the safety position play itself out because of how Coach Wilkes plays or deploys, rather, his safeties? What will the group of you know, five be out there for the most part when they're in nickel? And, guys, you know they're going to be in nickel a lot. That's pretty much how they play. And then the other scenario is there was much made early in the mini camp time about there's some grift between Monken and Freddie Kitchens, and that report did not come from Cleveland. It came from one of those quote-unquote national insiders. And so you wonder how much credence there is to place in that. I mean, Monken has the ability in his past jobs as an offensive coordinator to have that vertical passing game, which fits perfectly with what Baker can do and what an OBJ can do or what other speedsters can do like Antonio Callaway or Higgins, any of the talent that they have. So I'm curious to see how Freddie's philosophy meshes with Monken and how they go forward in that regard. How much they will throw out of having, you know, a two tight end set versus what they might have done in the past. There's a lot of those kind of intricate phases of football preparation and strategy that will be looked at. But first and foremost, the real cool thing is just going to be to see how many points this offense is capable and can score, because they've got a whole bunch of talent there, incredible amount of talent.
Well, we will do this every single Wednesday. Definitely looking forward to it. Our Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco with Fox 8's very own John Telich. John, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited for training camp. We know you are as well. And more importantly, we look forward to doing this with you every single Wednesday through the end of the regular season, my friend.
Hey, guys, we look forward to it. And I just think this is probably, as we said at the onset, the most anticipated of a Brown season that I can recall. In, I would have to say you'd have to go back into maybe the year after the Browns went to the AFC title game in the 80s and lost because of the 98-yard drive by Elway. But I think the next season was just incredibly anticipated, and they have all the ingredients, many of the ingredients that kind of assimilate to what they had back then, whether it was Kozar then or Baker Mayfield now. There's a lot of ways you can go. So I'm really excited to see what football in the fall is going to be like at First Energy Stadium, because, boy, I can remember some third and fourth quarters at that stadium in this new era when there were a whole lot of seats disguised, you know, there were a whole lot of people disguised as orange seats, I guess you would say. It's crazy.
Yeah, it'll be exciting, no question about it. Well, John, thank you again for the time, and we'll do this again next week.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Thank you, John. Yeah, again, John Telich with Fox 8 joining us here on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Matt Douglas and I need to step aside for a quick break. We'll come back with more Bullseye on the afternoon after this here on AM 930 WEOL.